Hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everyone's having an absolutely blessed day today. Hope you guys enjoyed the show yesterday with Dad running solo. I just need to take a day off. I've had a lot of stuff going on with this house build, and I just need to get some rest into it. It's sometimes it just I need a day off. So I appreciate you guys letting us do that, and I hope you enjoyed the show with him. A lot of stuff going on again, as always. And how are you doing today, Dad?
Oh, Austin, I'm doing absolutely wonderful. I was on first thing this morning with Matt Kalmuller, and he wanted to talk about Jeffrey Epstein, and he wanted to talk about the death cult that rules the world, that uses young children as human sacrifice with the hundreds of thousands of children that are missing every single year. And so, yeah, that's the way to start the morning. You get out of bed and talk about that stuff. And so I had done a bunch of research. I've already pretty much understand how all that works, and I've done a bunch of shows on it. And I wanted to tie one thing into this, and I don't really talk about this guy very often, but a lot of you guys have wondered why so many of the Hollywood elite and Hollywood stars are always doing a one-eyed salute, you know, basically the all-seeing eye. They cover one eye. Tom Brady did it the other day with the New York Patriots on Drudge. I've got a picture of it on my iPad. I couldn't believe he was doing that. And it's almost as if it's a call sign, like the ancient, you know, people had ancient call signs that they'd know who each other was. The Masonic lodges, they still do that as far as the call signs. The Christians used to do it when they'd draw half a fish and the other person would draw the other half a fish. So they'd know they were Christians. They wouldn't be prosecuted or persecuted or killed in ancient Rome. And so these call signs are being used right now openly. And what this is the all-seeing eye. This is the eye of Horus. And let me kind of give you some background on this real quick. This is an ancient Egyptian god. Remember I told you guys how the Canaanite religions of Asherah, Baal, and Moloch, how all that stuff went into Egypt, and that the Jews were put in captivity in Egypt, and that stuff was put into the Jewish people, and they decided to do this worship with the golden calf after they came out of Egypt, and how Jesus continued to call the leaders of the Jews who were in the Pharaoh, who basically had him killed, the sin, basically the children of Satan, so children of the devil. And this is that group. Now, he wasn't talking to the Jews in general. He came to save them. He was talking about the leadership that was a continual thread all the way from the ancient Canaanite religions into Egypt, all the way down through the ages to the time of Jesus, into the Dark Ages, through the wizards of the Dark Ages, into the Middle Ages, all the way up into today's time with the resurgence of this happening with Sabbatane and Zevi, okay, then being brought to Jacob Frank, then being brought to the Rothschilds, then being pushed into the central banks all over the world, and then being brought into the Scofield Bible with Samuel Untermeyer, and then being basically promoted by Aleister Crowley. And he was a great, probably the greatest Satanist, you want to give him that title, the worst Satanist, the most notorious Satanist, the most evil man in the world at that time. And he was all into spiritualism, and he was all into Horus and the all-seeing eye. And he has pictures of him holding his hand over his face. And here's how the origin of this mythology began. Horus was born to the goddess Isis, okay, after she retrieved all of the dismembered body parts of her murdered husband Osiris, except for his penis, which was thrown into the Nile and basically eaten by catfish, according to the theory, according to this legend. Now, what happens is she then used her magic powers to resurrect Osiris's private part in the fashion of a phallus, or a phallic symbol, which would be like the Washington Monument. All right, this is what they're doing here. This is a conceive her older son, basically Horus. Now, after she became pregnant with Horus, Isis fled to the Nile Delta marshlands to hide from her brother Set, who jealously killed Osiris and cut him up into pieces, and who knew that she would want to kill their son. Therefore, Isis bore divine son Horus. Now, this is the all-seeing ancient Egyptian religion, Horus. And what's crazy about all of this is the same god that supposedly spoke to Aleister Crowley. It was the same, it's basically Lucifer is what it is. And it is part of the Luciferian religions. And if you look at the Washington Monument right now, that's a giant phallic symbol. That, again, is supposed to be the erected penis of Osiris, and the Capitol Rotunda is supposed to be a womb with the ovaries I kid you not, guys. This is what's going on. If you look in the Capitol Rotunda, you see all of these gods depicted in the rotunda. There's not one depiction of Jesus Christ anywhere in there. And all of this is just ancient mysticism, which was then put into the Masonic lodges, and it all ties together with who runs the planet today. And these guys are ancient Canaanite religion worshipers, which is where all of the stuff came from, and ancient Egyptian stuff. Now, Aleister Crowley, he was an interesting clown. I mean, this guy was, well, he also worked for MI6. They said he was a British spy during the war, and he was something else. He was crazy. And what we need to realize is that he's had tremendous impact through occultists and other people through Hollywood who remember him fondly, but also through writers, artists, philosophers, and musicians. Crowley's image stands. This guy had said he had murdered and sodomized over 2,000 children. This is what his claim was. And his image stands amongst others on the cover of the Beatles, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Heart Club's Band. And his motto, "Do what thou wilt," is inscribed on Led Zeppelin. David Bowie also referenced the man to the lyrics in Quicksand, and Ozzy Osbourne paid tribute with a song titled "Mr. Crowley." Now, you got to realize this. This guy was basically the image of the Antichrist. In fact, a lot of people at that time in today thought he was the Antichrist. When he died from heroin and et cetera, all the crazy stuff he was involved in, he only had like 12 people show up at the funeral. But these guys have kept him alive for years and years and years and years and years. Now, this satanic cult that has worked its way all the way through the time and ages, this is an international cult that believes the path to, quote, illumination and spiritual liberation is through the rape, torture, and the sacrifice of young children. This cult is highly organized and protected by a network of middle and upper class professionals who are either cult members or access the services of the cult, i.e. child porn, prostitution, rendering them vulnerable to blackmail. This is what Jeffrey Epstein was involved in. The cult is modeled on Crowley's writings, as is evidenced by the internal pseudo-Masonic degree structure and the existence of the OTO-like chapters, which is what something that he started, and the doctrine of strength, master, slave, and ritualistic rape. All of this stuff is included in who Crowley was and this pedophile ring that runs the planet. The Night Circle Satanic Ring that's very prevalent in Australia, they actually have hunting groups that go out and hunt children for sport. This is who these clowns are. And this is why the other day when the ABC story was released through Project Veritas set up a dead man switch, because they'd already been threatened if they released this information that if, in the event that he was killed, he was going to let everybody know this. So, I mean, most of Crowley's adult life was dedicated to indulging in everything he believed God would hate. This is back right to what Sabbatane Zevi said, performing sex magic, taking heroin, opium, hashish, peyote, cocaine, invoking spirits, even once offering himself to the Russian authorities to help destroy Christianity. He wrote volumes of books that he believed were dictated to him by a spirit from ancient Egypt called Iwas. He also supposedly brought a demon forth from an interdimensional entity with what he was doing, and he spoke to this demon on a regular basis. And some people say because he didn't close the gateway, he opened up a portal to the unseen world by doing this. So all of these people who put their hand over their eye, they basically are worshiping and showing their homage to Aleister Crowley. Other people embrace his teachings of Crowley were Ozzy Osbourne, who called Crowley a phenomenon of his time. On the back cover of The Doors, the 13th album, Jim Morrison and other members of The Doors are shown posing with the bust of Crowley. David Bowie referred to Crowley in a song Quicksand from the album The Man Who Sold the World. Graham Bond thought he was Crowley's legitimate son and recorded albums of satanic rituals with his band Holy Magic. Iron Maiden lead singer Bruce Dickinson said, "We've referred to things like the tarot and the ideas of people like Aleister Crowley. The number of the beast said 666. This is who he thought, this is who Crowley said he was. Daryl Hall, the rock duo Hall and Oates, admits that he follows Crowley. Sting, formerly of the Police, has spent many hours studying Crowley's writings." And this list goes on and on. LSD guru Timothy Leary was a Crowley enthusiast. In fact, he said, "I've been an admirer of Aleister Crowley." Parsons, who started NASA, was a follower of Crowley. L. Ron Hubbard was a follower of Crowley. The Marilyn Manson song, Misery Machine, contains the lyrics, "We're going to ride to Abbey of Thelma." Abbey of Thelma is the temple of the Satanist Aleister Crowley. I mean, if there was ever a God-hating generate, it was Aleister Crowley. And he was a term in his New Age book, the law, he coined the term New Age in his book, The Book of the Law. And so this guy is unbelievable. FDR was so impressed with the teachings of Crowley, he put an image Crowley designed on the back of the dollar bill with the all-seeing eye. Because FDR was another globalist, closet, Seventh-day Kabbalist, I'm sure. I can't prove that, my opinion. The eye of the triangle is now on the dollar bill was created by Crowley. Are you listening? The eye in the triangle now on the $1 bill, supposedly, according to this author, was created by Crowley. It is the eye of Horus, which is a demon or Lucifer, looking through the pyramid from Egypt again, signifying a day when we are all being watched by Big Brother under the New World Order. So all of this stuff, the Beatles, Bowie, all of these guys were involved with this death cult. And this is why you see all of these people, Katy Perry, Lady Gaga, Madonna, the quarterback of the New England Patriots, holding and showing the one-eyed symbol, which is tribute to Aleister Crowley and Horus and the Lucifer and to these ancient mystical gods of Egypt that were all brought through by the Canaanite religions to the sacrifice of children to Baal, Moloch, and basically Asherah. And these people believe that when they sodomize these young children and rape them, that the energy from this young child infuses into them and extends their life. They also believe that when they enter into these ritualistic sacrifices, that they basically connect in a resonance frequency or lock with another dimension, and this energy that's being released from this person who's being sacrificed is then transferred into this next dimension. And that entity in the next dimension then rewards those people for what they have done by giving them riches and success and basically things on this plane of existence. And such is the group of people that run the New World Order. And such is that group of people basically that are in charge of the United States of America. And such is all of this stuff that we talk about on this show and nobody else will touch with a 500-foot extension cord. Nobody wants to talk about it, except for a few people like Chuck Baldwin and Jeff Frentz, my friend, who continue to say this stuff on a regular basis. And, of course, Sheila does, too. And so Chuck Baldwin just came out with something. He said, to help keep you safe, Austin covered this on Monday, because I've made $600 million worth of surplus military equipment available to local law enforcement, Donald Trump told the audience of police chiefs. If you remember, the previous administration didn't want to do that, which is not true. Basically, Obama gave a lot of equipment to police services, but Trump's saying that. He's lying again. They didn't want to make you look tough, so they didn't want to make you look like you're a threat. This is what Chuck Baldwin says. Newsflash to Trump. A militarized police state is a threat. It's a bigger threat than all of Chicago street drugs put together. Trump's appointee, Judge James Ho, brazenly declared, if we want to stop mass shootings, we would stop punishing police officers. In other words, government employees with guns, police officers, should be above the law. It was the same position that Attorney General Barr takes. Barr was one of the fiercest defenders of the FBI sharpshooter who murdered Sam and Vicki Weaver at Ruby Ridge, yep, Idaho, in 1992. The government sniper bravely shot a 14-year-old Sam Weaver in the back as he was running away from him, and later zeroed in on Sam's mother, Vicki, blew the back of her head off as she was standing at the door holding, yep, her infant child in her arms, scattered her brains all over the baby and all over the porch. The brave FBI killer blew her brains out. What a hero. William Barr made sure the government assassin got away scot-free with double murder. So think through what Donald Trump is doing. Think through if this is the America that you want. Think through this before we do Trump worship. Now you say, well, Ted, are you diametrically opposed to the presidency of Donald Trump? No, I'm not. But I'm diametrically opposed to anybody that does lawless behavior, whether they're a congressman, a senator, or the president of the United States. Anybody who would go into a foreign country and take their oil fields from the people there, like Syria, and say, we're keeping the oil, that's grounds for impeachment right there. He doesn't need to do that. Syria needs to be rebuilt. And the only way they're going to get rebuilt is if they have some type of revenue stream coming in from some type of natural resource they have that they can sell. I mean, we've gone in and destroyed Syria now on our little seven project countries that are going to fall after 9/11. And guys, this is something we need to all remember. This group of people that I mentioned at the beginning of the show, this all-seeing eye group, they run the United States of America. They run the international banking cartels. They run all this stuff. And we have to continually deal with these clowns on a regular basis
trying to figure out how to circumvent their behavioral patterns and try to free yourselves from the tyranny. And it all starts back with the Rothschild banking cartel in 1913 seizing the money supply, just like they did in 1812. They had a 20-year charter with the Bank of America. That's why they started the War of 1812, to try to get the country back. And then we know that the President Andrew Jackson threw them out. Lincoln was money martyred. I don't like Lincoln, but he stood against the international banking cartels, and he stood against the South. He should have left the South alone, and they should have turned together against the international banking cartels. I mean, think about this for a second. Austin and I were talking about this last night. When Abraham Lincoln, 2 years into the war, freed the slaves, he only freed the slaves of the South, and only the parts of the South that were not under Northern control. The South was winning the war at that point, and Lincoln did not free the slaves of the North or in the parts of the South that were under Northern control. This entire rewrite of history with Lincoln is a joke. He's not who you thought he was. He was absolutely a horrible person, and his wife was a Satanist, and she used to have seances in the doggone White House. This is some weird stuff we've got in our history, guys, but we can't pretend like it's not there. We can't run away from it. All right, that's my opening statement, Austin. What are you thinking? What's your next story, bud?
Well, and that's what, you know, and we talked about that in detail, because there's so many people that constantly don't even understand the truth about the Civil War. And it always frustrates me when people get in arguments with me and they make these just random ignorant statements about how, you know, the Civil War is all about freeing the slaves. And it wasn't even the beginning precipitating incident whatsoever of the Civil War. The northern states were pushing more and more and more and more taxes on the South. They were preventing them and forcing them to only sell their cotton and other products that they were producing in the South to the North, not allowing them to export to other countries because they needed all the stuff they could get up there. And they continually were forcing basically taxation without representation on the South. The same thing that we came over to America for, to get away from, and we were dealing with it again with the northern areas controlling the entire Congress, and they refused to do anything about it. And that's what started the whole succession of the states, blah blah blah. And then people go, oh, well, it was all about slavery. The Emancipation Proclamation, if you have any understanding of history or can even read worth a darn, you understand that the Emancipation Proclamation did not free the slaves carte blanche. It only freed the slaves in states that were still under Southern control. All the Union states in the South did not get the slaves freed. All the Northern states did not have the slaves freed. It was used as a war tactic to cause as much chaos as they could in the South by having the federal government come in and overstep the boundaries of what Southern states had at the time by stating you are no longer allowed to basically have slaves. Now, again, I'm not coming in and saying I agree with slavery at all. I'm actually diametrically opposed to it, 100%. It is not okay. It is not cool. It is not something I agree with whatsoever. But what I'm saying is the Civil War was not based on slavery. It was based on Northern aggression and, again, taxation without representation, the same thing that we fought for in the Revolutionary War. We tried so hard to get away from in England, we found ourselves in the South again, stuck in the same hole we already dug out of 60 years before, and we were back in it again. And the only option at that current time that we saw was going back to war. And the problem was, all the Civil War turned into was a war of attrition. Basically, how many bodies could you stack up? How many people could eventually die enough to essentially there's either nobody left on either side? And when they started bringing in more and more Northern Europeans into the North, they were drafting them right into the Union to bring them right down to the South and fight the Southern War that they didn't even know anything about. There's a great depiction of this in the film Gangs of New York. Very graphic film. I don't recommend you watch it with kids around, but it's a very, very graphic depiction of how New York was back then during the Civil War. And at the end of it, it shows you how they're bringing in the boats from Ireland, from Scotland, from Northern Europe. They're landing the boats on the docks. These Europeans and Irish are getting off the boats. They're literally, as they're getting off the boats, they're being handed uniforms, papers, rifle, sleeping bag, being basically drafted into service, being told they're going to give in 3 hot meals a day, they're going to have a cot to sleep on, they're going to get paid X amount of money, I don't remember what it was back then, and they're turning around, literally going from one boat to another boat, getting on the next boat, and the next boat's going basically basically down the coast, down to the southern states, so they can go fight in the war. Had no idea what they were even doing. Had no idea what they were even fighting for. It turned into a war of attrition. How many bodies can you stack up to the point that nobody has enough bodies left to stack anymore? And then basically the person with the least amount of bodies stacked goes, oh, we won. And that's exactly what happened. Very, very horrific war. And again, nobody wants to talk about the real truth that happened, because the victors write the history books. And that's exactly what they're going to try to do again in the United States if we allow them to continue down this path. As you guys know, if you've not heard of this now, down here in Florida, University of Florida, we have an instructor now at the University of Florida, this is the Gators, who has now told students in an intro to culture course that they will receive a failing grade if they use disrespectful terms such as illegal immigrants or illegal aliens. I kid you not, this is not a joke. Course documents secured by Campus Reform reveal that students were warned by the instructor, Max Van Alzenberg, against any common phrases related to illegal immigration. The consequences would be stiff. For one assignment, students were asked to address discussions, points pertaining to irregular immigration, globalization, and he said, please be sure to participate in this discussion in a respectful way. I ask you not to use any terms such as illegal immigration, illegal aliens, or illegals in any way, such shape, or form. When you label someone illegal alien, you are effectively saying the individual, as opposed to the action the person has taken, is unlawful of a person. Then he goes on to say, you will receive 0 points on any assignment if your posts are disrespectful, offensive, or contain any slur in any way, the syllabus warns. This is what they're promoting in the universities now. This is what they're saying, because they're trying to make sure they change the narrative. They don't want people to see any issues with a massive influx. Then you also have March for Our Lives groups. This is the massive gun control group that formed after the Stoneman Douglas High School shooting down here in Parkland. The shooting where we had a teacher come out and say she saw an individual in full body armor, face mask, carrying a rifle that she had never seen before, shooting at people in the hallway, and she thought it was police until he started shooting at her. And then all of a sudden we have the alleged shooter being caught on a camera walking to McDonald's an hour later by basically a Jewish synagogue, Shabbat synagogue, and all of a sudden that's the evidence we have, this is the shooter. And there's so many holes in that entire story, including the fact that EMT and SWAT were told to stand down and not enter the school during an active shooting. We even had two SWAT officers that were from the county next door. They were actually training at the SWAT agency an hour before the shooting, heard the call, deployed to the school, basically tried to enter the school, and they basically had guns drawn on them and told them to stand down by the current law enforcement of that county, and basically said, you are not in this county. You basically have no jurisdiction in this county. Do not enter the school. They basically said, dude, we're battle rattle gear ready to go. What are you talking about? We still got hot muzzles. We just got done training. We're going in the school. If you go in the school, you basically are going to be fired upon. You do not have authorization to enter the school. You have no authority in this county. That's what happened in Stoneman's High School, and nobody wants to talk about it down there. Now this group, the hardcore communist group, March for Our Lives, is now bringing out hardcore, basically, rhetoric and going in and trying to lobby to re-examine the District of Columbia and Heller interpretation of the Second Amendment, which in practice would mean asking the Supreme Court to revise the Second Amendment, meaning that the right of the people does not mean the right of the people. Now, obviously, this is not something they're going to be able to do with the current Supreme Court. But now what they're talking about is a multi-step process that they want law enforcement and Congress to basically work hand-in-hand in doing. We're going to require gun owners and guns to be registered. They're also going in now and saying that they're encouraging people to make sure that anybody that they elect to Congress or the Senate is supporting these common sense gun laws, which they want basically to be completely and totally restrictive. Essentially, what they've said now with these common sense gun laws is they want individuals to be able to have to register their firearms. The individual themselves are registered. Firearms that they deem to be scary are completely banned and illegal to own, including high capacity or standard capacity magazines, and that you have to get approval from law enforcement in order to purchase any firearm whatsoever. This is what March for Our Lives is putting pushing now. And again, nobody's wanting to talk about it. These are the things that they're trying to do to change the entire narrative, and they're doing it without firing a single shot. And the majority of the American population is so dense and so wrapped up in their mainstream media and their social media and Dancing with the Stars and all the other garbage on TV, they're failing to even see what's being done to us right in front of our eyes. You guys have heard me say so many times before, do not use the DNA profile websites, Ancestry.com, 23andMe, the list goes on and on and on. Well, this just came out from the New York Times, and they have basically even called this out as something that's rather spooky. Police officers around the county, basically around the country, have basically, and now essentially may have accessed over 20 million people's DNA profile. For years, the vast majority of this data has been off limits. The two largest sites, Ancestry and 23andMe, have long pledged to keep their users' genetic information private. GED Match severely restricted police access to his records online under any circumstances. However, last week, a Florida detective announced at a police convention that he has finally obtained a warrant to penetrate GED Match and search its full database of nearly 1 million users. Legal experts said this appears to be the first time in U.S. history that a judge has approved such a blanket warrant, and the development could have a profound implication on genetic privacy. Aaron Murphy, a law professor of New York University, he said it's a huge game changer. The company made a decision to keep law enforcement out, and this has now been fully overridden by the court. It is a signal that no genetic information can be safe. DNA policy experts said the development was likely to encourage other agencies to request similar search warrants from 23andMe, which has 10 million users, and Ancestry.com, which has 15 million users, and has now set the precedent to allow all of this to be open to law enforcement. If that comes to pass, the judges in Florida decision will affect not only the users of these sites, but huge swaths of the population, including those who have never even taken a DNA test. That's because this emerging forensic technique made it possible to identify DNA profile even through distant family relationships. Using public genealogy sites to crack cold cases, they are now saying this is setting a pretext that they need to have access to all genetic profiles across the country. Most users of the genealogy service have uploaded their genetic information in order to find out relatives and so forth, but now as we're seeing, there's a much more nefarious purpose that the law enforcement has found that they want to use in these circumstances. So I'm not going to go any further on this because this is something that you can go on there and read now. It's on the New York Times. We'll post it on the website today. You can go in and read in detail this entire article. But when you start understanding what's going on, you see that Trump now $600 million grant to the Sheriff's Department across the country. By the way, they have had tens of millions of dollars of grants in previous history, if you guys know this. Homeland Security was giving MRAPs to thousands of law enforcement agencies all across the country. I talked about this in detail last week. Military equipment, body armor, machine guns, night vision, helicopters, the list goes on. And then Obama did start to pull back some of these grants. Not all of them, as Trump blatantly liked to say, but he pulled back a lot of these grants. And now Trump has basically put these grants on steroids. $600 million. Now, the thing about this that nobody wants to address is when law enforcement gets these MRAPs, they only pay a few thousand dollars for these MRAPs. When you get a $10 million grant from DHS and you can start buying all this stuff, you buy this stuff for pennies on the dollar. The reason why is the military-industrial complex has to consistently keep relevant. They have to justify their $950 billion budget that the Pentagon got last year. So all this equipment, after 2 or 3 years, doesn't have military relevance anymore, as far as, so to speak, what they say. The MRAPs need to be bigger. The MRAPs need to be faster. The armor needs to be stronger. The night vision Gen 3 or Gen 4, whatever generation they've come out with, needs to be more advanced. The body armor needs to be upgraded. The machine guns are worn out. The ammunition needs to be destroyed and new ammunition needs to be produced because, heck, we all know ammunition only has a 2 to 3 year shelf life, right? I'm being facetious. And this continues to go on. So the military-industrial complex has to figure out how to get rid of this massive surplus of military equipment. What do you do with 3,000 or 4,000 MRAPs? You can't destroy all of them, because then what happens when the Pentagon goes back for another military budget? They say, we're not giving you any more money. We had to destroy 4,000 MRAPs last year because we had nothing to do with them.
so you figure out how to disperse them across the country to local law enforcement to fight the war on terror and the war on drugs. And now these law enforcement agencies have to use this equipment and vehicles to maintain the relevancy and justification to get these grants. They have to show X amount of arrests, X amount of drug raids, X amount of DUIs, X amount of gun confiscations, X amount of drug confiscations, X amount of cash confiscations. The list goes on. I could do this all day. I know multiple individuals, including a very good friend of mine in the Sheriff's Department who's on the SWAT team, who's told me firsthand what they do on a regular basis and how they use this stuff and how they train with it all the time. This is what they're gearing up to do, and we talked about this for the last 20 years. There's a reason why Homeland Security put in a bid back in 2013 for 1.6 billion rounds of ammunition when they blatantly stated they only use about 10 to 15 million rounds a year via training. You don't need 1.6 billion rounds of ammunition for training. You need probably, 30 to 40 million rounds of ammunition to cover a 2 to 3 year training span on a bid. That's it. But they're continually building up the surplus of this ammunition, dispersing it all across the country to have weapons caches all across the United States. So when the time comes, if the United Nations has to come in, whatever agencies have to be deployed, whatever goes viral and goes hot across the country, all this equipment is literally going to be pre-staged, pre-set with fully operational military gear, equipment, and transport for personnel all across the country. I can't be any more blatant news about that. I've been a huge Trump supporter. I still like a lot of what Trump has done. I don't like what a lot of Trump has done as well. I go back and forth. I support things he does. I really look down on things he does that I really disagree with. Giving sheriff's departments another $600 million grant so they can absorb more military gear that they already don't need. Our sheriff's department has three MRAPs right now. Three for a sheriff's department basically in one county in one part of Florida. Why in the world do we need $600 million worth of grants all across the country for more weaponry, more armor personnel carriers, and more equipment that we already have a glut of? The only reasonable answer that I can possibly come up with is because they're building a weapons cache all across the country. Because remember, if the feds come in, at any point in time, the feds can come in and reacquisition this equipment. At any point in time, Homeland Security, because they've given these grants, if you look at the verbiage on these grants when they sign them, there's all kinds of strings attached to this stuff. And at any point in time, Homeland Security or any other federal agency can come in, say, to Polk County and say, hey, Polk County Sheriff, we have an issue in northern Florida. We have the United Nations coming in, and we need to basically help them detain somebody or to quell a riot or to cause some type of, peacekeeping mission, whatever you want to come up with. We need your equipment. We need all your MRAPs. We need all your machine guns. We need all your body armor. All the stuff that you got via grants that we gave you, we need it all temporarily so we can basically arm and fund our peacekeepers that are coming in. The verbiage is that clear in the grants. So understand there's strings to this stuff, and there's a reason why they're giving this much money. If Trump wanted to do something about Chicago, he would send the stinking ATF into that city to handle their problem that they have caused in most cases. What do you think that agency is for? Alcohol, tobacco, firearms, and explosives. They do such a good job at framing people and sawing off shotguns a half an inch so they can justify the FBI coming in and raiding Randy Weaver's house, shooting his son and his wife, and executing them in cold blood. Why in the world don't the ATF get off their stinking lazy butts and do something productive besides look over tax stamp forms all day and actually go in to Chicago with their MRAPs that they have and their body armor that they have and their machine guns that they have and start quelling in these gang members that have a massive surplus of all these firearms that nobody can figure out where they're getting them from? Why don't they do that instead of giving local law enforcement more military equipment that they don't need? That's my take on that, Dad.
Wow, Austin. Well, what you said, it was extremely well put. If we had the United Nations coming in right now and dropping weapons caches everywhere with United Nations trucks, United Nations banners, and railroad cars holding and carrying hundreds of millions of dollars of United Nations bulletproof vests, machine guns, and MRAPs, the whole country would be in a doggone firestorm uproar. Yeah. But when you distribute it under the guise of Homeland Security, under the guise of the Donald,
Trump, who's basically Christians think can do no wrong, then at that point in time it becomes, oh, we're patriots. We have to, we love having all of this stuff, you know, in our local law enforcement. So it's a really good backdoor way of distributing high-tech weaponry without raising a brow of suspicion from the public. That's an excellent observation, Austin. And the irony of all of this stuff is that, you know, we have a situation now where we have people being basically intentionally framed and set up by the FBI, intentionally given bomb-making materials and told to be a terrorist, and they're not, and they were basically just set up by the FBI, who the FBI busts. We have TSA, which has gone absolutely ape poop as far as stripping people down and groping little children and everything else at terminals of bus stops and airports and train stations. I mean, we've got all of this stuff going on now. We've turned into a militarized police state. You know, 9/11 was the trigger that did all of this, which opened the door to all of this stuff. Now, we have to understand that. But we have to understand again, this is the ancient Canaanite religion that's running all of this show. This is who they are. In fact, right now in Rome, there's an uproar. There's a statue of an ancient god of child sacrifice put on display in Rome. This just happened. November the 6th, a reconstruction of a pagan idol who demanded child sacrifice was stationed at the entrance of the Roman Colosseum as part of a secular historical exhibition. Who reconstructs pagan god idols? Who does that? Listen to this. Now, stay with me for a second. The presence of the idol raised particularly concern among Catholics, as it was erected 9 days before the Amazon Synod and the subsequent scandal over the veneration of the Patamania idol at the Vatican. In other words, they put another idol of sacrifice at the Vatican. Now, guess whose statue this is? This statue of ancient god of child sacrifice. The statue of Moloch. Here we go, guys. I've told you all this stuff. The statue of Moloch, worshipped by both the Canaanites. There we go. There we go. Ancient Canaanite religion runs the planet. And the Phoenicians, as part of an exhibit dedicated to ancient Rome's once great rival, the city of Carthage. The large-scale exhibition titled Cartho, The Immortal Truth, runs until March the 29th, 2020. So this reconstruction of the terrible deity Moloch, linked to these religions, is featured in the 1914 film Cabrilla, directed by Giovanni Pastor and written by Gabriel Annuzzo, will be stationed at the entrance of the Colosseum to welcome the visitors to the exhibition. Wow. Think about what I'm saying, guys. They are openly now putting out the idol of Moloch. And I can't be any more clear than what we talked about earlier in the show today. This is who runs the planet. I mean, this is the ancient deity from the Canaanites that I've met. I tell you guys, it's the ancient Canaanite religions that run the planet. Here we go, right there. Apparently they put it together in some movie they built. Now they pulled it out of the movie set they had, or whatever they did, or wherever they got this thing from. And now they're putting it there at the front of the Colosseum for the hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of visitors to walk by this. By the way, the Daily Mail reported something a week or so ago that has had absolutely zero press anything. And I want to cover that real quick. It says that Donald Trump was allegedly recorded having a threesome with a teenage girl and a porn star in a mafia-run Times Square brothel in the 80s. A new book came out and said this. Terminally ill monster, John Tino claims he recorded Trump, who, when he was 36 years old, having sex with a girl and a porn actress called Tri in the fall of 82 in the New York Vice Den. Tino made the allegation in an upcoming book, All the President's Women, Donald Trump and the Making of a Predator, due out on October 22nd, which basically no one even heard about this. Authors Barry Levine and Monica L. Fazi were unable to track down Tri, the then teenager, or the recording allegedly showing the threesome. Now, whether this is true or not, I don't know. All I know is that Donald Trump, this stuff, with these sexual deviations that he's been involved with, these things have followed this guy like forever in his entire presidency, including some weird stuff like this. All I know, that when terminally ill people start saying stuff, you kind of got to listen to them. Because in the vast majority of the cases, but not in every case, they're telling you something. In fact, if you look at the Rolling Stone article that I posted on the website. It's called The Last Confession of E. Howard Hunt, the Ultimate Keeper of Secrets Regarding Who Killed JFK. And we've got this posted on the website. So a lot of times these people may be getting paid off by the Canaanite worshipers in order to put stuff out that's a lie, to continue to push a certain theme or narrative in order so to have their parents or their children or their loved ones or their relatives get a bunch of money when they check out. Or they're trying to come clean and they're trying to tell people, hey, look, things are not what you think they are. Here's what's really going on. So somewhere in the middle there, we've got truth happening. Somewhere in the middle. By the way, the escalating health issues of the millennial group are raising economic concerns. More millennials in the U.S. are suffering from chronic health problems, potentially restraining the lifetime economic potential of a generation of young adults. A spike in conditions like depression, hypertension, and high cholesterol among younger people could increase health care costs in lower incomes in the coming years. According to a report Wednesday from the Blue Cross Blue Shield Association, a federation of 36 independent companies that together provide coverage for 1 in 3 Americans, between 2014 and 2017, the rates of depression among millennials surged by 31%, while hyperactivity rose 29% and hypertension rose 16%, according to the report. High cholesterol and tobacco use disorder has also increased. Without change, the effects of these trends could be game-changing for the U.S. and the economy, the report warned. Healthcare costs in the U.S. are already high and climbing, on track to make up 20% of the gross domestic product. Now, think about this. The millennials were born between 1981 and 1996, meaning they're the oldest turned 38 this year. This is Austin's generation. The generation is known for its technological savvy, general high levels of education, and demographic diversity. There are roughly 73 million U.S. millennials. That's a lot. And this year, they are expected to become the largest U.S. generation as more baby boomers die, according to the Pew Research Center. Now, this is going to be crazy when these guys start having all of these health issues at a much younger rate than their parents did. In fact, so many people now are burying their parents of my age, and a little bit from anywhere from 60 to 75 to 80. They're dropping dead like flies. The baby boomers are dropping dead, because the baby boomers believed the lies, most of them did, of the medical industrial complex with all the vaccines and all the shots and all the junk food they fed us when we were children. And this is what's really causing a lot of the baby boomers to check out very, very young. The majority of children right now regularly battling anxiety. Right now, it's the current generation. This is the most stressed generation ever. A new article just came out. A new survey reveals that as young as 7 are experiencing symptoms of anxiety. More than half the parents surveyed have been feeling anxious all the time themselves. These are millennials again. Okay, it's becoming more and more common these days for adults to feel overwhelmingly stressed and anxious on a daily basis. Now, why is that happening? Well, because we are now the 76th vaccine generation. We are the generation that's been poisoned with more thimerosal and more mercury than anybody else. Now, I'm going to say something about the current generation of children coming up right now, with 1 in 32 having autism in the boys. This generation, when they become raised and the millennials basically start retiring, there will be nobody to replace them, because there will be such an unbelievable burden on the healthcare system and on the welfare state of the United States. When the parents of these autistic children die, that's going to cripple and destroy the entire structure of the United States itself. You can't have millions and millions and millions and millions of children autistic who are unable to provide work product and who are unable to take care of themselves and continue to have a viable economy. In addition to that, these children will not have children, which means we'll have another reduction in the population base, and we'll have more and more immigration coming into the United States, replacing these, what's quote, Americans. This is all part of Cloward and Piven. And like Mancow said on his show this morning, and I'm going to say it again because I've told you guys the same thing. These people who are doing this, these Moloch and Baal and Ashur and these sodomizers of young children and these sexual perverts who are involved in all of this stuff, they don't care about you or me or Austin or our families or your families. They don't care. They only care about themselves. They're sociopaths and psychopaths who consider themselves at the highest levels to be the benign Nephilim, sons of the fall, and carry their bloodline all the way back to the ancient Canaanite religions. That's who's running the country. And we need to understand that. And Donald Trump has become their do-boy. You say, well, I can't believe you said that about Donald Trump. I'm not saying he can't try to work around them and try to get things done. But guys, this guy is so compromised morally, on audio, videotape, or whatever these guys say they have on him now, that he's going to do pretty much what he's told to do. And his daughter is a Chabad member, and being a Chabad member, she's heavily involved. Heavily involved in Kabbalah, in the worship of fallen angels. And this is what's happening right now as we speak in the United States of America. We are under control of an ancient Canaanite demonic entity. And in Rome, they're actually putting up statues of Moloch now, to whom they worship and put their children to. This is what happened to the Aztecs and the Incas and all these people. They self-extinguished their own DNA by sacrificing their own children. Huge, huge groups, hundreds of thousands of children killed on a regular basis in these civilizations until they got to the point where they could no longer self-produce, reproduce, because they killed all their infants. Because Baal, Moloch, Asherah, Satan, whatever you want to call this thing, this entity, it promised them great knowledge, great achievement, gave them the most advanced calendar system in the entire world, incredibly advanced mathematics. But it all came at a price of their children. Because these entities, when these children die, consume the energy released from these children, including through abortion. And that's who runs the planet. And that's why we will never get rid of Roe v. Wade, because Congress is so doggone basically compromised through all of the junk that's known about them. And the liberal left has been so brainwashed through the Frankfurt School, through the ideology of Aleister Crowley and Sabbatane Zeevi and all the sicko weirdos that have been around for the last couple thousand years that have done all these crazy things, including Jesus Christ's death. Of course, he surprised them all with his resurrection. And because of that, we have hope and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ and in God, who we're now in covenant with because of the blood of Christ that I've done multiple shows on. Now you understand why I do this. Why I talk about Jesus all the time, and I talk about the blood of Christ and how he's omnipresent and he's always on the cross. He's always at the right hand of God. He's always in the Garden of Eden. He's omnipresent. He's always there providing sacrifice for you. And they can't turn off his biological blood transmitter of scalar waves that continually restores us and heals us and brings us back to God the Father. They can't turn it off. That's why it says in the New Testament, had the God of this age knew what he was doing, he never would have crucified the Son of Glory. He didn't know what was going to happen. And God basically just took him out. That's why Jesus said on the cross, "It is finished." Because he knew at that point that no further sacrifice had to be made. And that once we establish a covenant with God through Christ, and we accept him as our Lord and our Savior, he continually transforms and renews our mind through the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Guys, that's what Christianity is. And that's why when I talk about all of this stuff, I've got to bring Jesus back into it, because I've got to bring you back to balance. And for all of you who are listening right now who don't know Christ, you need to accept him as your Savior. Pray with me right now. Father, I ask you to forgive me for what I've done. I tell you, Father, that I'm a sinner. And I realize, Father, that I'm in a fallen state. And I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. I accept him as my soon-coming King. Thank you, Father. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And if you prayed that prayer, my friend, if you prayed that prayer, you've been born again. If you meant it in your heart and you understand, you need to get a Bible. Read the book of John. Read the book of John first. Before you read anything else, read the New Testament, the Gospel of John. Read that. Then read the book of Acts and understand who God is. The New Testament, my friend, is a love letter to you. It's a love letter from God himself through Christ. And you need to read it on a regular basis and study it. I love you guys. I appreciate you. Austin, that's my little sermon of the day. What's your next story, bud?
Wow, that was excellent. Well, I wanted to get into also another health topic here, just something to kind of give everybody, you know, impact on why it's so important to sleep, and occasionally if you have to rest or something, it's really, really important. It came here by when it comes to managing anxiety disorders, there's basically a research done by the University of California, and it goes into detail and found that the type of sleep, a full night of slumber, stabilizes emotions. A sleepless night can trigger up to 30% rise in anxiety levels. A sleepless night, I'm going to repeat that, a sleepless night can trigger up to 30% rise in anxiety levels. And just bear with me for a second. You guys are going to get this, where I'm going with this.
The University of California researchers found that the type of sleep most apt to calm and reset an anxious brain is deep sleep. This is also known as non-rapid eye movement, slow wave sleep, a state in which the basically neural oscillations become highly synchronized and heart rate and blood pressure drops. You're fully relaxed. You're basically unconscious. You're sleeping. It's as deep sleep as you pretty much can get. And what they have found now is real, true, deep sleep decreases anxiety overnight significantly more than almost anything else they have been trying to do to replicate, whether it be drugs or medications, any of that. Nothing works as well as non-rapid eye movement sleep, deep sleep. And the findings published on November 4th in the Journal of Human Behavior provide one of the strongest neural links between sleep and anxiety to date. And so what I'm looking at this is now, and so this is talking about the anxiety, the problems people are having with basically having panic attacks and so forth because of the lack of sleep. And they say that a large percentage of the younger adults now are no longer even getting anywhere near this level of sleep, much less getting, you know, 7-8 hours of sleep a night. They're not even getting into this range of sleep, the deep, deep sleep. And what also, so in this article, if you tie it into also the article that I talked about, I think it was 7 or 8 months ago. I don't have it in front of me. I'll try to get tie back into it tomorrow. And how it states that the electromagnetic waves produced by Wi-Fi, also along with looking at your iPhone at night right before you go to bed with the blue light and the screen, stimulates basically almost a small amount of adrenaline because it makes your body think it is looking at the sun. It makes your body think it's wide-eyed, bushy-tailed, middle of the afternoon, sun's in your face, cortisol's up, adrenaline's up, it's time to do something right now. It's the middle of the afternoon. That's what your phone stimulates when you look at it at night, right before you go to bed. And then on top of that, you have the Wi-Fi emitted from your phone and the Wi-Fi coming out of your Wi-Fi router that a lot of people don't turn off all the time on a regular basis, that's constantly stimulating you with electromagnetic waves. So it prevents your body from ever getting into deep, deep sleep, which it also shows you now when you tie these two together why we're seeing this younger generation have such horrible, debilitating issues with anxiety and depression and panic attacks on a regular basis. I'm hearing this, you know, with kids that are 18, 19, 20 years old, some of them 17, you know, in their early 20s, having anxiety all the time. Oh, I'm always anxious. I'm anxiety all the time. I'm always anxiety all the time. And then you look at them, and they're on their phone almost all day long. They stay up till 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning on their phone all night long, screwing around, social media, just doing dumb stuff, completely unproductive. Then they go to sleep for 3 or 4 hours, and they got to get up and go to class at 7 or 8 in the morning. They're completely debilitatingly exhausted. They've got nowhere near the amount of sleep they need just to actually rest, much less the deep, deep sleep that they need to actually have their body completely slow down and repair. Then they wake up in the morning. Cortisol has barely even gone down because they've been staring at their phone half the night. Then they hammer down 2 or 3 cups of coffee, or worse than that now, these energy drinks that are so prevalent on the system now, this Red Bull and Monster and stuff, 200-300 milligrams of caffeine in one bottle. I mean, I don't ever recommend you drink this stuff and put it in your body, along with the levels of sugar. So it spikes your cortisol back to the roof. You try to function throughout the day, which, by the way, large amounts of caffeine also causes anxiety. It starts causing you to have all types of shakes and tremors and everything else. You have too much of it. You get through the day all anxious, all worried, all anxiety, all depressed, all up and down all day long. Then you do the same thing. They stay up all night again on their phones, screwing around, staying up late, keeping their body completely and totally alert, black out finally from exhaustion, get a couple hours of sleep, wake up in the morning, do the same thing. And we wonder why these kids are so exhausted and are so anxious all the time. And then, of course, what do we tell them? Oh, you need to go to the doctor. You need to go see a psychiatrist. Oh, you need to go on medication. You need to go on Xanax or some type of benzodiazepine or some other type of scheduled controlled substance because you are so depressed or so anxious, we don't know what to do. When in reality, it's our own doing that we have caused on our own by not allowing our bodies to get the adequate amount of sleep we need, not preventing our bodies from being stimulated so heavily from outside circumstances such as Wi-Fi and phones, and not slowing down or cutting off our screen time on these stupid phones that everybody is so obsessed with on a regular basis. Get some rest, turn your phone off, get some sleep. I promise your phone's going to be there in the morning when you wake up. That's my stance on that, Dad.
Yeah, and Austin, also, another little pet peeve. I had a guy come over years ago. His name's, he's a doctor. He has his own talk show on health. And he basically sat out on my back porch with me by the fireplace for an hour and a half one time when he came to visit me. He came and got here like at 9 o'clock at night, and for 1.5 hours he sat on his phone, just doing crap. And that's what it was just crap. And finally I asked him 3 or 4 times, please put the phone down. I thought you came here to talk. You know, you want to sit by the fire and just chit-chat for a bit. You got some issues going on with your wife, and I was going to try to discuss it with you, and I'm just trying my best to help you, but you're sitting on your phone. And finally, after about the third time, I just got up. And he goes, what are you doing? I said, I'm going to bed. And he goes, why are you going to bed? I said, you're rude, and you're basically acting like an idiot. And I said, why can't you put the darn phone down? Except I used a bad word. I hate to say that. I used a bad word. And he says, why are you talking to me like that? And I said, because I can't take this. But I said, you're acting like a 12-year-old. And I said, what the heck's wrong with you? Why do you think it's okay to come to somebody's home and want to spend time with the individual who's been a friend of yours for 15, 20 years, and you won't get off your telephone? Guys, think about that. When you go to dinner with your wife, you know, turn the phones on mute. Put them down or leave them in the car. Unless you've got children at home and somebody may need to contact you in an emergency, just leave the phone in the car and spend one-on-one quality time. The other day, we were at the Biltmore Estate, and we were listening to a band, a really good band. They were playing old country songs, et cetera. And we were there listening to them, and there was a couple beside us. They didn't even talk to each other on the phones, just sitting there. We were sitting there holding hands, and I don't think we had our phones with us. And we were basically just chilling out, having fun spending time together. Guys, just one of the reasons marriages have gotten so messed up in this millennial generation is because they're all caught up in their social media and who's got what. And, you know, Facebook and, you know, and actually I call it brag book. Look what I've done. Look what I bought. Look at my big screen TV. Why don't you put your big screen TV on your doggone Facebook page and see how quick it takes someone to break into your house one day when you're not there, especially when you tell them that you're going on vacation on Facebook. Why don't you do that? I'm going on vacation next week for 2 weeks, and I bought a big screen TV. Okay, well, they're not going to be home. Let's come take his TV set. Come on, guys. Think through all of this stuff. Turn your Wi-Fi off at night. Turn it off, shut it off, shut it down. You don't need that stuff hitting your doggone pineal gland, stopping the production of melatonin. Wow. Guys, I love you. Great show again today. So good to have Austin back in the saddle with me. You guys are awesome. I got to pray for you again today. I love you guys. I just think you guys rock the planet. And I tell you what, I love spending time with you. Thanks for supporting Health Masters. Thanks for being here for us. Austin, go ahead and close it up, and I'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Absolutely, guys. Thank you again for the continued support and everything you do for Health Masters. Please sign up for our free weekly newsletter. Lots of articles, lots of different specials, kits, coupons, all types of stuff we're always sending out via email. People send me questions all the time. How do I know about this? How do I know about that? What do I know when this is going on? Sign up for our free weekly newsletter. Thank you again for the support. Be sure to check out the product of the week. We got it changed over yesterday. The vitamin C, our excellent C formula, on sale right now for over 10% off. Incredibly effective product, keeping the immune system strong, antioxidant support. Check it out on the website, healthmasters.com. If you need anything, be sure to give us a call, 1-800-726-1834. And also, please vote for the next product that you want to see win product of the week. A lot of good products on here. Vive facial cream, really popular product for wrinkles. Probiotic 100 billion, resveratrol, the Tongat Alley, one of the strongest formulas we've ever found to produce natural testosterone in men, really increases testosterone. Check it out on the website, healthmasters.com. Have a blessed, safe, awesome night. We'll talk to you again tomorrow, as always.